I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. The next Barrows Conservation Lecture Series speaker, April 17th at the Cincinnati Zoo, is Dr. William Conway, longtime director of the Bronx Zoo. This morning, he's on the phone to talk with Thane Maynard.
Dr. Bill Conway, it's an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you, Dr. Maynard. It's nice to talk with you.
Well, you know, we were fortunate to talk recently, and Bill, it's remarkable because, of course, some listeners will know, of course, you're most known as longtime director of the Bronx Zoo and the man that built the New York Zoological Society into the international leader of Wildlife Conservation Society. So catch us up on what you're doing now.
Well, nowadays I'm working primarily in Latin America on some very exciting field programs. One of them, particularly exciting, is on the fascinating coasts of Patagonia. That's the Atlantic coast of Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
It's pristine, which is hard to believe these days. When I first went there in 1960, it was littered with the skeletons of slaughtered sea lions and boiled penguins.
Mm.
We've been working with the Argentines ever since, and today it's a different story. It's one of the places you can actually drive in a personal car, sit in your car, and look at thousands of giant sea lions, the world's largest seals, some of them up to 8,000 pounds, which is, you know, as you know, Thane, it's much bigger than even a rhino.
That's
and
right.
Bigger than a hippo. They're huge animals. And they're immense colonies of penguins and four species of cormorants, vast colonies of terns. It's just a fascinating place.
Well, and it's heartening to hear that really the area is in better shape today than it might have been 50 years ago, which was remarkable because, of course, the news often talks about the opposite, particularly, for instance, and it's disheartening, but here we are in an age that we should know better, but elephant poaching for ivory is as bad as it's ever been.
I think it's probably worse than it's ever been. It's a terrible tragedy, and unfortunately, the poachers are so well organized now and so well funded that stopping them has become extraordinarily difficult and expensive. And here we have rangers over there, Africans who are giving their lives trying to protect their elephants. It's the most discouraging thing that has happened since the height of the whale slaughter, I think.
But as you know, the efforts to ban whaling and ban the trade in whales largely was very successful coming out of the 60s and 70s. And I know your zoo and WCS played a big role with the establishment of conservation efforts with whales.
Well, yes. We had staff member Roger Payne at the time, mm-hmm. who was the man who discovered that whales sing, at least humpback whales do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid the whales in Patagonia squeak and call and make low rumbling sounds, but they aren't very musical. But unfortunately, it's going to take something very different to save elephants. Extraordinarily intelligent animals, affectionate animals.
Mm-hmm.
And to see them destroyed this way is heartbreaking.
Well, it's the real downside of basic market economics, because even though it is illegal, trade of ivory still is. Where there's a market, obviously, at this point, there's a way. I think many listeners have seen recently cover story of National Geographic and others, documentaries from the BBC, that, my goodness, for just a pittance in places like the Philippines and Vietnam and in China, on the black market, you can buy products recently made of ivory.
Well, unfortunately, the rise of local wealth throughout much of Southeast Asia has made it possible for people to purchase ivory doodads that go far beyond piano keys,
mm-hmm.
and are just terrifying in the pervasiveness of the trade. It's the Wildlife Conservation Society has an office and a big crew of people working in Guangdong, which is the province that probably has the largest amount of trade coming in China. And it's very disheartening to see not only the ivory trade, but so much else that's going in, pangolins, turtles and tortoises, by the thousands.
Mm.
On the other hand, there's some good things happening. I was delighted to see how the Galapagos tortoise problem has begun to decline. The introduced. Rats, cats, pigs, and goats are being removed. The animals are being bred in captivity and being reintroduced by the hundreds with great success. And there are other things happening, too. There's some awfully good research happening in zoos now.
Mm-hmm.
And the way zoos are evolving is what is exciting me. They're no longer just living museums, show and tell. They're now active in the field conservation organizations. And your own zoo, the Cincinnati Zoo, is quite famous for its work, of course, not only in artificial reproduction with rare species, but out in the field with everything from elephants to Sumatran rhinos.
Well, that is right, and it's an interesting thing to see that evolution. I know when you speak here in Cincinnati on April 17th, I know you're one of the things you'll address is the still emerging role of zoos.
Yes, I think that what's happening with zoos is beginning to place them in a very interesting position. They are, in effect, becoming society's hands-on tool for the preservation of biodiversity. While other conservation organizations are working hard and doing an excellent job, there's something special about the zoo that is hands-on, that really knows the animal, cares for them individually, and steps in when there are really significant emergencies.
You know, the challenge is an area that zoos can help, but we are still learning how to do it more effectively, and that is to get the general public directly involved with both better awareness and understanding of science as well as conservation, and then to directly support that. My take here would be, Bill, interest is up, awareness is up, but effective involvement has a long way to go.
Yes, I agree with you, but just as important, in fact, more important in many areas, is getting the people on the ground, the people who live with the elephants. In Patagonia, it's the people who live with the sea lions, the elephant seals, and the penguins. When I first went there and we began our work with penguins, we were shocked when a company came in and announced that they were the Hinode penguin company, and they were going to kill 40,000 penguins a year to make gloves.
Wow.
Fortunately, we had enough people behind us, local people, who said, no way, and actually chased the governor who'd signed permission out of his office. So we have had a good thing there now. And from a base where nothing was happening to penguins except being oiled on the beach, and they were losing 10% of their population a year with oiling, we now have a tourist situation where about 120,000 people are visiting Punta Tambo, which was the first big penguin reserve we helped the Argentines set up.
That is just remarkable. You know, I had not heard the story about the Penguin Glove Company, but I'm very glad that you and your colleagues from WCS were there, because but for that, it wouldn't take too many years to decimate even a huge colony.
Well, constantly we're wrestling with problems of this kind all over the world. On the other side of Latin America, we've worked with some of the local plants attempting to preserve flamingo colonies. And this is going pretty well. And some of these companies, mining companies, have stepped forward to pay rewards to wardens and rangers who are attempting to stop poachers who go into the colonies to collect eggs. It's another great story, all the way from the mountain flamingos to the coastal penguins.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's an interesting time to be alive and think of these things, because if you look just at the headlines in everything from scientific journals to general publications, you could see a lot of bad news about wildlife and natural areas, including climate change. On the other hand, good people, as you said, people on the ground are working hard at it, more people than ever. So I think there's still hope.
The figures that discourage me the most, quite frankly, are those of human population. And they are so disheartening that I'm afraid that we're going to have to do an awful lot more to save anything much beyond the 21st century.
There's more of us, and frankly, we all, not all, but many people live a much more affluent and consumptive life than two generations ago.
The current population of the Earth the human population and its domestic animals now compose 98% of all the terrestrial vertebrates.
Wow.
These recent figures are very, very frightening.
Man alive. That is daunting right there. Well, Bill, this has been fun to catch up with you. I very much look forward to seeing you soon and having you speak here at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Thank you, Thane. I'm looking forward to it.
My guest has been Dr. Bill Conway from the Wildlife Conservation Society. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.